What is going on out there, everybody? And thank you all again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, hiding in the shadows, creeping about with his fear of Boston Dynamic robots, is Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios, and I do have a fear of Boston Dynamic robots. I got several emails over the last couple days where people sent me this new video of Boston Dynamics new robot doing all kinds of stuff. It's bear crawling on the ground. It's doing dive rolls. It's jumping over. It's doing handstands, backflips. Dude, like we've said before, if you took the head off the Terminator from the movie The Terminator and put it on that, it would be almost no difference than
just a
T-800.
Give it a fake
gun. Oh, my God.
And let it just walk around and see if everybody thinks it's still
and
funny.
And we're just
then
casually building this stuff. And AI is just casually taking over. It's going to be a real problem. I mean, I saw where there was some fugitive held up in a building or a house, I'm sorry. And the cops, you know, they're having this standoff and the negotiator comes out there and they negotiate with the guy for like 4 or 5 hours. He ain't coming out. Not a problem, right? In the old days, you'd have to send like a SWAT team in. They'd have to batter the door down, send the guys in. Not this time. They send in like 3 robots. Not like human-sized robots, but like small.
It'd be a lot cooler if
like
they were
dog robots, and they go in there and they get the guy out.
That's insane.
It's insane, and give it 10 more years.
It's crazy.
You'll just have an army of it. You'll just be able to fly over a battlefield, and like remember the old Transformer sound wave? How his cassette would open
but
up?
We won't
and
even fly over the
out.
Battlefield. The AI controlled aircraft will fly into the battlefield.
Right.
What got us all on this, folks, is when Kyle got here in studio, I have the Terminator playing, and then of course that kicks it all off. Usually it's either Big Trouble in Little China. We have a lot of that. We'll have a lot of the Predator, but today I felt like it was a good Terminator day. And then he sees it, and this is where we go. We spent the next 20 minutes freaking each other out about the ideas of fighting robots as old men.
We're already planning on it. I mean, when I showed up at studio today, I had with me an RCBS reloading.
Yeah, we got our reloader stuff.
I got the media tumbler for the cleaning brass.
We got to tell everybody, this was Pop's.
It was my father's. When I was a kid, we grew up in the country, as if you're a long-time listener, you know. And the kind of things we did out in the country is because, you know, we didn't have any internet. There was nothing to do. We would reload our own ammunition because it was far cheaper. Still is far cheaper, but back then in the 80s, it was really cheap.
How old were we when they left us alone doing it?
Well, my dad taught me how to reload ammo as a young boy. So probably I would help him all the time. You know, I'd go in the shop and sit down and help dad. But by the time I was 12, I would be unsupervised. I could just reload whatever I wanted. And we had our own rifle and pistol range at my house. And so, like, that's what we would do. We would get in there. You'd get the old Sierra reloading manuals.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yep.
You'd find
the Bible out.
You'd find what bullet you were using. Oh, this one's 130 grains. And then how long does the case have to be trimmed to?
Yeah, you
have
to measure the case.
You have to measure the case. You have to take the old primer out. You put the new primer in.
You got to clean the bottom, clean where the primer sits.
Yeah.
Clean all that to press it in. Make sure your case is trimmed proper. And for those that don't know, you can only use brass for so long because it'll thin out from the stretching and the resizing
crack.
And it ends up just getting terrible. But yeah.
So we would do that. And we would just, you know, there's like a range. For every round, it doesn't matter. You can start off with this many grains all the way up to this, and you're not supposed to exceed that, otherwise it could blow up. But we would play with it a little. Like, if this was the maximum, let's put 2 or 3 more grains just to see what would happen. That's called a hot round, right? And then you could go back in the woods, and then you could experiment and try it. And that was completely unsupervised. And this was what life was like in rural Texas in
again,
the late 80s.
We always laugh. Everybody gets a kick out of it, but a bunch of y'all our age remember, you could never buy spray paint or modeling glue, but you could buy ammunition, cannon fuse, gunpowder, primers. We'd buy all of that.
But there was no school shootings back then. It was just a different world.
Yeah, it was different.
So this actual, the reloader I brought in today was my father's, and he had a stroke. Let me see.
Well, hey, look, it was
like
just
25 years ago. I mean, he's had a stroke a long time.
Just recently, basically, was the anniversary because it was right after the St.
Patrick's
Day
party.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And it's before I met my wife. And so I've been with my wife. We'll be married 17 years, but we've been together for probably 20, 21.
Oh, she just now heard his voice, right?
On old VHS tapes.
On an old VHS tape, yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds just like my brother. That's what she said. Anyway, so this reloading bench, this is all his stuff. I went to my mother's one day randomly, and she was getting ready to throw it all out. And I was like, wait a minute. And I gathered it all up. I put it up. I never looked at it. I haven't looked at it in 15 years. Cam the other day starts texting me about reloading. And I'm like, hey, bro, I got all the stuff.
It's on.
All we need to die is and we're ready to go. I know for people that don't know anything what we're talking about, this is really
sorry, boring. We'll get off of reloading with expanded perspective.
Yeah, let's get off of the reloading.
I got to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So for everybody that knows, we were in Memphis.
Yeah.
So we had
I was
a good
walking
time.
In Memphis.
That's right. We were walking in Memphis. I ate donuts in Memphis. I ate steaks in Memphis. Like, we got to do all kinds of cool stuff. We got to see it raining in Memphis. We stayed not far from Elvis Presley's mother's home.
Like, 3 blocks.
It was a beautiful area where we read. Beautiful area.
Autobahn Road or something. We walked there. Yep.
Something wacky. We go there on DU and we get some good stories sent in there. There was one sent in that we're going to have to share that you and I discussed. And I want you to tell it.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So
you know exactly which one I'm talking about. And even preface it with, like, when we were there for the first time, the story that everybody got fired up on that we've talked about on here.
Yeah, we talked about it on here, and I'm sure if you listen to the Ducks Unlimited show, you've heard us tell it there. We probably told it on a couple other interviews.
Oh, probably, yeah.
We know a guy that was hunting in Central Texas, and he was sitting in his tree stand, and just out of the cedars came walking a Bengal tiger, a full-size Bengal tiger.
Yeah.
He was scared. Called his buddies and were like, you're going to have to come pick me up because I'm not getting out of here. And I don't blame him. And you're like, that's crazy. He probably saw hallucinated or whatever. But people don't realize that lots of people own tigers as pets in Texas. And this was one that probably got out. You know, and you're not going to call the authorities to let them know your pet tiger got out because you don't want to get in trouble. And right. If it mauls somebody, you're liable. So they probably never reported it. And here it was out in the woods. Can you imagine anything more scary than walking through the woods and a full-size 500-pound cat's out there?
Absolutely not.
I wouldn't hunt there anyways. So that story is one that we've told many, many times. Well, Ducks Unlimited knew that they invited us back, and they were going to have us there. And in light of that, they wanted people to send in their stories of strange things that happened to them while they were hunting. And one of the stories that was sent in was a woman named Lainey, and this happened to her father's friend. There was a guy. And this took place, I want to say it was Texas, East Texas somewhere. There was a guy.
East Texas, yes.
The guy worked at some place. I don't remember what it was, some company. And he was not a hunter, but all the guys that worked there were hunters. And he became friends with them. You know, when they're on coffee breaks or lunch, they'd always talk about hunting, and he became interested in it. He'd never been. He was like a city boy, but wanted to go. And he befriended these guys, and eventually he started asking them, please take me hunting. You know, I'd love to go hunting with y'all one time. So they're like, fine. Roger, we'll say his name is, we're going hunting next week. Do you want to come? And he's like, yes, I want to go. So they take him down out there. They show him how to use the gun that he's going to be hunting with. You know, they give him like a 243 or something. And they show him how to use it. They let him shoot it several times so he's proficient with it. He knows what he's going to do. They take him out to a box blind. It's 20-foot tall box blind. And they're like, this is where you're going to hunt tomorrow. We're going to drop you off here. You know how to work the gun. And we'll pick you up after the hunt. So he's all excited. They all go to bed. They get up early. It's still dark out. They drive him out there. He gets in the stand. Then they say, like, we'll pick you up in a couple hours, right? And he said there's a little hole in the floor of the box blind. He doesn't know what for.
I have a pretty good idea what for.
Yeah, probably bathroom breaks or something.
Probably a
right?
bathroom break, yeah.
I mean, it happens, right? I've seen guys build custom like urinals in their stands. Anyways, so they leave the guy, no big deal. He's only up there a little while, and he says the guy that's hunting, the new guy, feels like someone's shaking the stand or maybe a cow brushing up against it, rubbing, you know, scratching its back on it. He can feel it moving, but it's dark out. He can't see. So he just kind of plays it off, sits there a little longer, it starts shaking again, or something's rubbing on it again. Well, this happens 2 or 3 times, and finally curiosity gets the best of him, and he takes his cell phone out, and he's going to turn the flashlight on his cell phone and shine down that hole, try to see what's bumping the stand. You know, is it his friends jacking with him? Well, he turns the flashlight on his phone, and he goes to stick it down the hole to look and see what's down there, and in through the hole shoots a large hairy hand and arm. It grabs his cell phone and pulls it out. He freaks out. Bigfoot just stole his phone. So he starts shooting through the floor of the box blind. Boom, 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 boom. You know, he shoots 5-6 times. Well, his buddies that are hunting that dropped him off earlier, they hear all the gunfire and they're like, this isn't normal. What is going on? We better go check on Roger. So they get in their side by side or whatever, and they start driving towards the stand that Roger's in. But before they can get there, here comes Roger. He's running down the road and he's screaming, "Bigfoot, Bigfoot took my phone. Bigfoot, Bigfoot." You know, he's worked up, freaked out, scared. And they're like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Relax, relax, slow down, take a breath. What are you talking about? What are you shooting at?" And he tells them, "The Bigfoot's arm came through the bottom and took my phone." They're like, "Show us, show us." So they go to the stand. Sure enough, not only do they see bullet holes all through the floor of the box line, they see blood. And they're like, "Well, he clearly shot something."
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they start tracking the blood trail. And they only go about 60 yards. And there lying in the brush is a full-sized silverback gorilla.
Like a 500-pound male silverback gorilla.
And it turns out they report to the game wardens and authorities. And apparently somebody had a pet gorilla and the thing had been missing for about 2 weeks. So what are the odds of you never hunting? You go hunting and a Bigfoot-like arm reaches through your box blind and takes your cell phone. I don't think the guy ever hunted again. I don't know.
I don't blame him.
But the woman, Lainey, that sent that in the Ducks Unlimited, I found that story incredible.
The minute I heard it, the first things that went through my mind was one of two things. Was this gorilla, was this the first time it finally saw people since it had gotten out? And this was just one of those deals is I'm going to go to people because I know people with food and water.
Yeah, right.
Like, is this what I'm trying to, you know, to get to? And it was just one of those where he grabbed the whatever it is that caused him to do what he did and then he got smoked. Or was it really there to do something nefarious? Like, was it, you know what I'm saying? Like, had the gorilla been staying in and around this area? Like, it just makes so many more questions as to why it even interacted with them.
Because that's a good question, because I don't think gorillas are necessarily that violent, not like chimpanzees.
Yeah, I don't think they're that.
No. You know, they're vegans, right? I mean, but still, you might be right. It might have just heard the people, heard the side-by-side, heard the voices, whatever, and was just interacting.
Yeah, just come to the noise. Like, maybe it was thinking, oh, this is the first time. Because, you talk about way out in the Middle East, Texas, somewhere. It might have been some pretty good-sized land out there, wherever this thing was hiding, that thick woods and all that. Who knows?
I mean, there's a county next to ours where there's a private, exotic pet sanctuary, I guess what you would call it. But there are, like, gorillas there. There are cats, large cats. There's tigers. And we always talk about when people have these crazy sightings, are they crazy? Maybe they're not wrong. We already know that there was a tiger that was loose. Mm-hmm. We already know now that there was a gorilla that was loose. Maybe when you get these sightings, they're not, I think of like the swamp ape sightings, you know, several people have sent me a picture where it looks like it's an orangutan. Maybe it is an orangutan. And when somebody had an encounter, like I was fishing in the Everglades and I saw the skunk ape, they're not lying, but what they saw wasn't Bigfoot. It was an orangutan.
You talk about being freaked out. Imagine sitting in your stand and having a gorilla come cruising by in front of you.
Yeah.
Right? You'd be like, wait a second, what?
Well, you've done several sightings of hyenas.
And I've got more for you too, Brad.
Okay.
I've got another one here that you brought up. It's funny, which is the reason I wanted to soft toss you the whole thing with the gorilla. It's because I have to hit y'all with this. I know how much you enjoy these crazy ideas of hyenas. Well, some have been spotted roaming around in New York's Adirondack. Get a load of this. In the spring of 2010, while driving in the southern Adirondacks in New York, in the Adirondack Park, my wife and I saw what can only be described as a hyena chasing several deer across the road. The animal literally stopped dead in front of the car, staring back at us for 10 seconds before it moved off. Now, I've been in the woods my whole life, raised with a gun since childhood, and spent my summers on Lake Champlain. I have hunted, fished, instructed archery and rifle range, hiked, coon hunted at night, owned horses, ridden horseback through the wilderness, and presently live with all kinds of wildlife on my lakefront creekside property. Well, I thought I'd seen it all, but I have no idea what this was, other than to say it was a hyena. It was very, very large, 150 to 175 pounds, long, bushy tail, which I don't think hyenas have long tails. They just have like stumpy tails, don't they?
To be honest, I don't know.
Brindle.
I know that they have tails. I'm always thinking back, of course, to the hyenas and lions in documentary. Like, I'm trying to remember. I think eternal enemies. Yeah, eternal enemies. I think they do have a long tail.
You just love the faux penis. Anyhow, wiry, spotted, brown, black, and gray coat with a powerful predator build. thick lower jaw, rounded diamond-shaped head, triangular, actually, with rounded ears setting high on the head, and what appeared to be a mane running down the back, originating on the neck. Its hind legs were noticeably shorter than the front and much thicker and more powerful muscled than the front, so that the animal sloped down in the powerful rear. Now, I've seen countless hyenas on Discovery and National Geographic and Wild Kingdom as a kid, and there is no other option than this strongly resembled a spotted hyena. I immediately went home and searched for it, and amazingly, it is said that the mountain hyena once roamed the Adirondacks and the Appalachians. Well, I have news. At least one still does. My wife and I at the time actually called New York NCON at Raybrook when we got home and got laughed at. Even receiving an errant email back ridiculing my report, which was accidentally sent to me instead of an Enron coworker. This really made me mad. And as I had made friends with my local Enron officer who liked to use my property to catch poachers, although we do have an animal park at the end of the lake, when I called, they assured me that they had never had any spotted hyenas. It was only shortly after I saw the Monster Quest episode describing a similar animal in Maine, while the Shunkawarikan, remember that crazy one I talked about?
Yeah.
Was well known to the Iroquois as the dog killer. The supposed Shunkawarikan famous mount seems far too small and pig-like to be what I saw. Its legs are far too scrawny, and it seems far less canine than what we saw, also possessing a longer straight coat and thinner snout. Then a few days later, we saw it again doing the exact same thing. There is no doubt that this was not a coyote, not a wolf hybrid, or a coy dog. This was a hyena. My property has a creek mouth, and lakefront with four fish spawns, plenty of deer, coyotes, red and gray fox, fishers, eagles, turkeys, ducks, blue herrings, owls, ospreys, geese, ducks, turkey vultures, lions, tigers, bears, oh my, and even the occasional black bear, and this fall a yearling moose. I've seen it all, especially riding horseback. You name it, I've seen it and can identify it. But I've never seen anything like this. As close as I can come is a spotted hyena. I have a very high IQ and have worked for two Emmy winners. I love the humility in this. But amazingly, this is the second cryptid animal I've seen in my life. When you do, you just never forget it. Suddenly you realize the world is far more amazing than many ever know. Just imagine what's lurking out there, untouched expanses of Canada and Alaska, where few, if any, have ever ventured.
I agree.
Bart.
I think it's very likely that they saw a hyena. Because, like we talked about,
we get a bunch of them.
The tiger and the gorilla. I mean, why couldn't somebody have a private collection and have a hyena? Yeah, it's illegal to own it. But people do illegal stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You know, or check this out. Maybe they saw the ghost of a hyena. Because back during the Pleistocene and the Pliocene, there was a North American hyena that lived here. Or, just like the Thylacine, maybe they didn't really die out.
Well,
maybe there's still a small pack of them.
Well, then the deer think of they can see the ghost too.
Yeah, maybe.
Because if it's chasing them and the deer were running across the road, then this thing stopped. But what he doesn't say anything about it looking like a ghost. He's like, this thing is standing right in front of him.
Right.
I know what you're saying, but you know what I mean? It's like, look.
It's most probable that it was a real hyena to me.
I mean, I always go back to what you point out. You're telling me some crazy narco drug lords or some crazy gang members or whatever it is, mob members or just dudes with a ridiculous amount of money.
Mike Tyson had tigers and lions at his house.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I would love to be. I've seen the pictures and the videos of those dudes in Africa with the AKs and they got the hyenas on a chain walking down the street. I'm not going to lie. That looks pretty awesome.
It's definitely more of a flex than just walking a pit bull. First of all, hyenas are they're huge. They're like the size of wolves.
And they can shatter elephant bones in their mouth.
Yeah, right. I wonder what the PSI is on the bite force on those things.
I'm good, right? But look, the idea of it. So I think, like we've said before, there's a really good chance it's a real hyena.
Yeah.
It's a real hyena. Somebody it's got loose, whatever it is, and it is the way it is.
I'm interested in the fact that they claimed that this was their second cryptid encounter. What was the first one?
Yeah, right.
What else did they see?
Well, they saw the hyena twice. Maybe that was the two.
Oh, maybe.
But I do appreciate what Bart describes as like seeing all of this stuff, like knowing all this stuff. that's one of those things that goes into is like, pay attention to the locals, the natives of the area. They know what's out there. Well, they live there. They see it all. And then there's just like, this doesn't belong.
It's also credible because he's an avid outdoorsman. Yes. He knows what the animals.
That's it.
He knows the flora, the fauna of the area versus somebody who's like come over from another country, never been there. And they're like, oh, what is that? A hyena? Oh, maybe they live here.
Yeah, right. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to have to pay the bills. When we get back on the other side of this break, I've got a few more really, really wild stories that I want to share with y'all. And Big Fizzy over here has got a couple he's got hanging around in his pocket I think you're really going to enjoy, folks. Stick around. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Okay, I got to hit you with something else.
Okay.
I can't leave it off there, folks. I've got something even wilder. This took place in southeastern Montana. Let me lay this on you. I saw something when I was around 15 living in southeastern Montana. We lived on the outskirts of a small town, and I'd often go for long walks at night. There was this one spot on my normal walking route that just always seemed off. It was two or three bare lots overgrown with brush, and right at the lots, the asphalt turned to gravel that, for whatever reason, that just kind of terrified me. It wasn't only me, though. Everyone I talked to hated walking past those lots. On the other side of the road from these lots were about 20 foot of land and then a canal that was empty that time of year. I was walking one summer night with a flashlight, since we didn't have street lights, and as I approached the edge of the road and the beginning of the lots, my flashlight started to flicker, and it went out. Now, I heard this truck come barreling around the corner of the lots, and they were curved and hills, so you couldn't see around them. This white truck stopped on the gravel road right in front of me. Headlights were blinding. I didn't recognize the truck, so my first thought was, I'm about to be kidnapped. I could barely see the man inside, and I realized he wasn't looking at me. I turned around to see three large, upright, wolf-looking creatures moving from behind a tree. They were all hunched over and would extend one large clawed hand, not a clawed paw, but like a clawed human hand, in unison, as if to feel its way before doing some weird hop-drag thing forward. They all moved the exact same way and moved directly to the canal and then disappeared in it. I looked back at the truck and the guy hit the gas, spinning out his tires on the gravel before bolting. I was left in the dark for a minute, and then my flashlight came back on. It would have been quicker to walk past those lots to get home, but I turned and ran the other way. There was one area that led back into these sheer rock faces, and there was a cave back there that people would go to drink. Well, as I passed that area, I heard rustling in the bushes, and then I saw another one cross the road there. Now, as I got to my house and was throwing open the door, I heard something behind me, and it was growling very low. I ran inside, and I have never gone out on another night walk again. E.
Wow.
First of all,
I don't blame you for not wanting to go back out on a night walk, right? Like, I understand it can be peaceful. It's good to get exercise. It's good to stretch your legs. But if you see three dog men, you mean they got pack tactics.
Look,
you don't want to mess with them, right?
Tell the dude in the white truck, thanks for the help.
Or
thanks for abandoning me out there with a pack full of werewolves.
Stay strapped, my friend.
You know what I thought of?
What'd you think of?
I thought of the werewolves in What We Do in the Shadows. In the series, remember those guys?
Yeah.
They're all just hanging out. They're not really up to any good. They're all just going to hang out. What, werewolves can't go and you can't be a lycanthrope and like to go have like a poker party and drink a few cold ones in a cold, dark, creepy cave?
Yeah, and why are werewolves always depicted as like scumbags?
I don't know. It drives me crazy. But I will tell you this. If I had the ability to transform into a werewolf.
Yeah.
You're telling me, like, I would do it just to freak people out like that, too. Just run across and then run off. That would be fun.
Well, yeah. I don't know if I'd necessarily do it in this state, but yeah.
Nobody still shoots them.
No.
They shoot at them, but they don't hit them, I guess, because we never find them dead. But we do find blood. But yeah, imagine just running across the road like that. Just, maybe that's all it is. Maybe most of these creepy things are just got a sense of humor. They just like messing around. I don't know,
but I like the stories. Check this out, Cam. It says, hey, guys.
What's up?
I wanted to start by saying I love the show.
Oh.
I've been a longtime listener, and your podcast always makes my week.
Well, thank you. We love you, and hope you'll enjoy these stories.
I have been on the fence about writing in, but an occurrence that happened a couple of weeks ago was the tipping point for me. I'll try to make this story short and try not to ramble too long. For some context, I'm a horse trainer in the northern part of California. I have a client that I ride, that I trail ride with on a regular basis. She has back problems, so the horses we ride are pretty bomb-proof. These horses have come face-to-face with coyotes, angry bulls, rattlesnakes, eagles. They've seen it all and are in no way easily spooked. We also ride weekday mornings, so there's very little to no foot traffic on the trails that we ride. The first occurrence was in the summer of 2021. We were on a trail for the south shore of Lake Comanche in California. Now, we've ridden this specific trail multiple times, and I could do it with my eyes shut. There's this one particular spot on the trail before you get to the turnaround point that has always been, well, eerie. Most of the trail is open prairie-style landscape. They put cows out to graze in the spring and summer, but this spot is forested, and it's always shaded. It's also always way cooler, easily 10 degree difference than in the blistering summer heat. We made it to this turnaround point and started the trek back when suddenly behind us, it sounds like a tree being ripped out of the ground and thrown, crashing to the ground. It was one of the loudest things I've ever heard. Now both of our horses, who have seen and gone through worse, were suddenly on edge, prancing and snorting, not their typical behavior at all, even in stressful situations. I had this overwhelming fear. Whatever I did, I shouldn't turn to look. If you see something, you get that no you didn't feeling. We finally got the horses under control, but they were tense until we got back to the trailer. Neither I or my client ever brought this situation up, not once. I've overheard a conversation several months later and found that the same fear I felt about looking around my client they also had. I've grown up in the Sierra Nevada mountains, and I've never been afraid. I am not afraid now, but I am a little more cautious. The second occurrence happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago. However, I was riding a different horse, and I was riding with a different client. Again, the horse I was riding is very bomb-proof. Nothing ever fazes her. We came up to the section of forested area, and right at the threshold, you have to go in between two parts of a tree. The tree had fallen across the trail, and the rangers just cut out the part of the tree that was blocking the path. My horse suddenly stops, whinnies very distraughtly, bucks and stomps in place. She's never had any sort of reaction like this, ever. She was so agitated that we considered turning around there. I pushed her forward, and she obliged. But she was visibly upset. She pranced and snorted like the horses the first time until we had made it almost back to the trailer. I believe that it could be something fey-related, but I'm not sure. It seems to come and go. I've ridden that trail several times between 2021 and 2 weeks ago with other horses and the horses in the two stories. I'm wondering if others have had similar situations to mine. Thanks, y'all. Jay. So if anyone out there is walking or hiking or riding horses on that trail, I'd be interested to know if you've had similar feelings of something being, you're being watched, throwing things, tearing stuff up. She mentions that she believes it's fey folk or something related like that.
It makes you always too, like we've talked about and covered multiple times about the fey showing up and braiding the mane and tails of horses.
Oh, that's right.
Right, yes. Where they would show up. People first thought it was Bigfoot and tried to, and then other people are like, no, man, it's the Fae. The Fae are out there messing around with them and the whole deal.
Do you think the Fae are drawn to horses for whatever reason?
I mean, who's not?
Yeah, I mean,
like most horses are cool.
Well, and like she mentions being a horse trainer. I mean, where we live is surrounded with horse trainers.
Oh, bro, they're everywhere.
That's all. I mean, we live in the cutting horse capital of the world.
Yeah. It's hard to explain to folks. Like, everywhere you look, horses, trailers, trucks, cows, ropes. I mean, if you're a cowboy and you're into it, Fastback Ropes is made just south of Weatherford, in between here and Granbury. I think Classic is still made in Stephenville.
Or
down around Stephenville. Like, so if you're a cowboy, all of that stuff comes from here. Kerry Kelly. If you don't know who Kerry Kelly is, do a little search on Google.
Bits and spurs and stuff.
Yeah, he's awesome like that. So, yeah, we've known Kerry forever. Like, you get to talk to these. It's a heck of a place. Mm-hmm. Look, I got it. Now that you're going to be talking, as long as we're going to be talking about this, I'm going to get it back into Texas. Get a load of this. Kay writes in and says, hey, we lived in West Texas. Now, it doesn't say where. I'm going to stop right there.
It's a big spot.
It's a big spot. Yeah, this is one of those things I'd like to be like, well, where? Because if you live in Tyler and you go to Dallas, that's West, right? That's West Texas. Like, where do you consider West Texas? I like to consider West Texas anything west of Sweetwater.
I was going to say like San Angelo or something like that.
You start getting out that way. You get up into the panhandle, but that's kind of where I draw the line. Like Midland, Odessa, that's West Texas.
Yeah, I think it's a Big Bend area.
Abilene, not West Texas. Sweetwater is, what, 2 miles outside of Abilene? And I like to draw the line at Sweetwater.
Yeah, I was just in Cisco this weekend, so we were only like, you know, a few miles from Abilene. Yeah.
So it says, I had an experience with what I always called a werewolf. I was in college at the time and driving home around 11 p.m. from my job. There was a huge cattle field behind the development where I lived, and I sometimes preferred going the back way home because it was just much more scenic. I don't even recall if there was a full moon, but I saw what looked like a cow by the fence and decided to scare it. So I pulled over and started laying on my horn. Now look, cows are great. We used to sneak up on them and jump on them while they were laying down. Crazy stuff like that, right? I don't know why everybody likes to mess with a cow just because they're just so mellow, I suppose. But I don't remember if I heard anything. I just remember what I saw. That thing got up. And what got up had to be over 7 foot tall.
And it wasn't a cow.
Mm-hmm. And I sat there staring at the thing, and it was staring at me before it took off running. Now, I sped home. And I remember how terrified I was to get out of my car. I didn't have a garage clicker, and I knew it would take me forever to unlock the door. Well, good news, it hadn't followed me, so I assumed I was okay. I don't remember how long it was after the incident, but I was running on my usual trail that snaked around the front of the development, and there was a huge cow leg laying on the dirt, clearly way too big to be related to coyotes or another animal. I always assumed anything that could kill and dismember a cow would have to be much larger. That was the last time I experienced something that I related to that. We ended up moving not long after that, but I think of it still. So, they believed that it was some sort of werewolf creature that stood up there, another dog man out there in West Texas. If you were going to be a dog man and you wanted to feed on cows, no better place to go.
Right, I agree.
Maybe up there around Amarillo, was it Hereford? You get up in around all that area where all the cattle lots are?
Yeah, and they mentioned they were going to college, so I wonder if they were going to like Tech or something.
They might have been
like
in
that.
Tech, which would explain because, again, you're right up in there. You're talking about Lubbock, there's a lot of cows and stuff around there.
A lot of good bird hunting.
Level land. Yeah, they named that way for a reason. Dude.
Check this out. It says, hey guys, I've been listening for years and years, but I've never actually shared my single paranormal experience.
Thanks for everybody. One time, first time writing in.
Right?
Right. Long time listener, first time submitter.
That's right. It says, I was 10 or 12. It was a summer day and we were getting home from Little League baseball practice. My stepdad at the time drove a little red pickup truck and he'd always park it on the street in front of our house. It was a typical suburban neighborhood with a decent yard. Considering that we were in a neighborhood sandwiched between two of the large main roads of the city. The family across the street from us had two large pine trees in their front yard, sprouting right next to each other at the ground level, but slanted away as they got taller. Towards the top, the two trees formed a basic V shape. As we pulled up to the house, I unloaded my gear, grabbed my Burger King kids' meal, and other stuff. As I turned to close the door to the truck, I look out through the V in the trees towards where the sun will set in a couple of hours. I don't remember if something specifically caught my attention to make me look that way, or if maybe the sky was just beautiful in that direction, or if I just looked that way because that's the way I happen to look. Anyway, While I was looking in that direction, a perfect flying saucer floated silently in the distance, floating perfectly through the V shape made by the two trees. The craft was far away, but I got the vibe that it was intentionally showing itself to me, or nobody else would see it if I pointed it out to them. It seemed ideally situated to float between the two trees relative to only my perspective. It emerged from hiding behind the left tree and floated down through the V-shape the way a flower might slowly fall towards the bottom of the V-shape, and then it disappeared behind the second tree. Again, relative to my perspective. I never saw it emerge from the other side of the V-shape or come from somewhere else to hide behind the first tree. It poked out where I could see it, floated momentarily, and then vanished behind the second tree. At that level of the trees, there was nothing else in the sight line, so it would have to have been a bunch of clear skies, the V-shape between the two trees, and then a more transparent sky. So if it came from somewhere before hiding behind the first tree, theoretically, it should have been visible. It is the same thing that had gone somewhere, same thing as something had gone passing behind the second tree, but it floated by in the distance, ideally through that V-shape from my perspective, coming from nowhere and going nowhere, and then disappearing as if it had never actually even been there. It may, to make it even more strange, it looked exactly like the flying saucers used by the Planet X aliens in the Godzilla vs. Monster Zero movie from the early 60s. White is on the top and bottom, and a line of blue is around the midsection. It looked exactly like the ships from the movie. I never really told anyone about that, what I recall, but I never experienced anything else strange in my life. However, I've always been interested in the paranormal and the unusual. The only other issue that I've ever had, I feel very confident, was just my imagination. When I was a little kid, even younger than I was, I had this flying saucer sighting. I sometimes saw my toys moving independently. It was never anything significant. They wouldn't get up and run around the room or anything like that. It would be something more subtle. The biggest one I can remember is the batter on top of my baseball trophies, swinging his bat, or one of my Godzillas waved his arms up and down. It was never anything crazy, and it was always deep enough in the shadows that I knew even then it was probably just my imagination or the beginning of a dream. Years later, I would try some adult substances that would expand my perspective, and some of the things I saw during these trips would be very similar to the subtle, dreamlike visions of the moving toys and trophies from my childhood. Looking back, I know that I know now that I was wide awake for my saucer sighting, even though it had this very vaguely magical dreamlike quality to it just being for me, and it happened in such a way to be perfectly visible from only my perspective. Otherwise, nothing paranormal or unusual has ever happened to me. Tyler.
Wow.
I know what he's talking about. It's the vantage point. There's something about the V in the shape. I picture like a rifle sight.
Yeah.
And that UFO was perfectly placed there. And that's the only reason why he caught it. If he hadn't been standing directly there, he may not have noticed it.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a solid point.
You know, like it's, I think of it like when you're trying to frame a photograph.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you will change your perspective just a bit to make the photograph seem better. You know, you can see somebody who's not a good photographer and you see him shoot something. You're like, well, if you would have just used that part of the tree,
yeah,
it would have made the picture
way better.
If you
just apply the rule of thirds, you'd be surprised at what all the changes.
So, and what's cool is the fact that it looked like something he saw in a movie. And that's probably why he recognized it, right?
Yeah.
He's like, wow, that looks just like the Godzilla versus Monster Zero, which I have seen because my son Luke was obsessed with Godzilla.
Well, that's what I was going to say is like, I don't really know it. I'm going to have to call Luke.
Oh, he would know exactly, right?
And he would know who the special effects guy was and who created it and this whole thing.
Well, and as far as like the moving trophies and the toys, Tyler, you're not alone. There have been other people that have written in where they had, man, it wasn't Raggedy Ann doll or something, but I remember specifically somebody had a doll and I don't remember what it was called. It wasn't a Cabbage Patch. But anyways, they described seeing the thing move on numerous occasions and they would tell their mom and, of course, the mom never believed them, but they're like, dude, I know I saw it move.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah.
And it's always creepy. What was the, There was a movie a couple of years ago Luke made me watch, The Boy or something like that, where it's like a doll that would get up and move around.
You're going to have to start writing down all these crazy films you've been forced to bear witness to.
You have no idea. I mean, I've already been set in 2 weeks. We're watching some Screamboat movie where
Mickey Mouse, that he just got?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I remember this now. Okay. Yeah. Like Screamboat Willie. Don't.
You're welcome to go with us if you want to.
Do not drop my name. If he texts me, dude, I'm gonna put a cigar out on you. I do not want to get suckered into this. I've had to go look, we've watched The Meg. I watch a bunch of stuff with him, but he's very selective when he calls me. Because he knows, like, if it's insanity, I'm not going to go to it. But if there's a lot of, like, violence and monster-on-monster crime, I'm about those movies.
Yeah.
I got something for you. I was in Granbury over the weekend. And everyone that knows, or if you do know, Granbury's, you know, of course, south of us. Just south of Granbury is a little place called Glenrose. Kyle and I have been down there. There's a lot of dinosaur valleys down there. You go down there.
Yeah, the famous tracks, yes. The London Hammer.
And the London Hammer's down there. There's a lot of this. Sam sends this story and it says, I had some friends who lived in Glenrose, Texas, and who claimed they had seen three regularly and that they would show me. Now, when you say three regularly, what? We're talking about giant birds, possibly pterosaurs.
In Glenrose.
In Glenrose, Texas.
Yeah. Okay, tell me more.
Get a load of this. So I stayed the night when we were kids. I can't recall the year. This maybe have been in 2000. And we hiked a good distance down a dried creek bed. Eventually, we stopped, and one of my friends pointed up into a tree at a nest that was kind of large. And then we climbed up out of the creek bed to try and spot them. Then, way in the distance, there were three very large birds flying in a circle, and I could make out the crests on their head very well. I was in complete shock. I almost certainty other people had seen these things, but probably chose not to talk about it, as Glenrose isn't secluded. And of course, at the time, was country, but still had a fair amount of houses scattered around. My grandmother also saw one in Missouri or Illinois. I can't recall where, but I know she had seen one fly over a river and at first thought it was a small plane. It happened when my mom was a kid, but she remembered hearing her mother come home acting erratic and telling her father what she had seen.
A giant bird?
A giant bird. And so it sounds like down around Glenrose, there was three of them back in 2000 spotted. Now, the way they talk about the crests on them, it sounds like what they're seeing is pterosaurs.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
They found a giant. The reason I tell you this, this is even creepier to me for a lot of reasons. But one is the one that you always point to. What if it's the spirits or the leftover, the overflap, right, of something?
Right.
Well, we already know how many dinosaurs were down there, bro. There are dinosaur tracks and stuff found all through that area.
Well, what's crazy is not just that the dinosaur tracks. There's also human footprints found. Along the dinosaur tracks, and the footprints are of giant proportions.
Yeah.
What I mean is, like, as if a giant was walking around at the same time that the dinosaurs left their footprints. You can look it up, folks. You can go on YouTube.
It's written.
It's written. You can find it. It's pretty neat. The Glenrose is an interesting town. They got the beautiful Paluxy River flows through there, and it's really clean.
What's the park that I already forgot it. There's a park.
Fossil Rim?
No. Where they use, it's their reservoir, where they dammed up one of those big valleys.
Rock Springs Park or something
It's like 150 foot or 130 something foot deep at the dam. It's crystal clear down 60 or 70 feet. Oh, you're talking about
Wheeler Branch.
Wheeler Branch, there you go.
Yeah.
Bro, that little place is beautiful right in there.
Yeah, very.
If I was going to be a pterosaur, that's where I'd be a pterosaur.
That's where you'd kick
Wheeler
it.
Wheeler Branch. I'd kick it at Wheeler Branch.
I got a quick one right here.
Lay it on me.
Check this out. It says, I don't know if you all cover anything like this.
we cover
just about everything. In 2021 or 2022, I lived in a town called Iron City, Tennessee. It's an old mining town. There's no mining there anymore, but that doesn't really matter to the story. Me and my friend were exploring, as teenagers will do, and we found an old book. It was just a homemade leather book, and in the book, it was full of rituals that were all handwritten.
Uh-oh.
And went into great depth. And we're talking about stuff that someone wouldn't just know to joke about. We found it besides a river that runs through the town. And it seems as if they were trying to burn it. about 5 yards away from it was a ritual seeming circle with not one but five dead dogs laying around the circle in a star pattern.
I don't like any of this.
They were all tied up with extension cords. And after that, me and my friend left quickly. We felt like we were being watched. We ran from that place all the way back to my house. It was about 2 miles away. But ever since that day, anytime I go anywhere near there, I feel like I'm being watched. It was just an odd incident. I haven't no idea what it was, and I haven't heard anything like it, but I love the podcast. Wesley.
Oh, Wes, that's Wesley, bad. Thank you.
It reminds me of a similar story that I believe... Oh, I believe it was Chris James, a fellow podcaster, had told about when he was like a border security agent.
Border Patrol back in the day.
Or maybe it was his buddy, but they came across like a ritual happening at night somewhere. And everybody had like these cloaked robes on.
Oh.
And they don't know what they were doing, but, you know, they got out of there too. I would too, right?
That's when the gunfire picks up.
You hear about these crazy alternative groups that will do like human sacrifices and stuff. I believe in that stuff. I also believe that
alternative groups.
I don't want to be any part of that, right?
Hey, look. I like to go and get communion. Oh, I like to go and worship Jesus. Oh, I'm an alternative group. I like to wear robes, sacrifice dogs with extension cords. You're like, you know what it makes me think of? Coming to America.
What
you remember whenever they're in the bar the first time looking for the queens and the first girl they come up to, she's like, I've got a secret. I worship the devil.
Yeah. I think I've dated a couple of those.
I know you have.
Now, let's take a break. We got bills to pay. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. With Expanded Perspectives. I got a cool story here. Check this out.
Lay it on me.
It was the summer of 1987.
That's not the summer of love.
My mother passed away from cancer, leaving behind two sons and a husband, my father. Every Sunday, my father would take me and my brother to breakfast, and then we would go visit mom at her gravesite, located in Alum Rock in San Jose, California. It's a Calvary Catholic cemetery. We would go to breakfast early morning around 8 a.m. or so. This particular day was no different, and we arrived at the cemetery at approximately 11 a.m., and it was a cloudless, sunny day. We had just walked up to the grave and had a brief moment to get in a comfortable standing position. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw something black perched on a tree branch. It seemed to be facing us. However, the shape of it was without definition. The best description I can give is that it was in the form of a black humanoid bat shape.
Huh?
I could see the form of what looked like a head on shoulders and wings rising above the shoulders. The bottom part of the creature was much slimmer, with the rest of the body giving the impression of legs standing upright on a tree branch, but was without definition, appearing as if a person used a black permanent marker and drew its shape. I hope that makes sense. As soon as I looked at it, the creature did a nosedive out of the tree with its wings spread out. Uh-oh. It then straightened its body, doing a 90-degree upward turn, tucked in its wings, and beelined straight towards us. It didn't flap its wings when it flew towards us. Similar to the Mothman accounts, it seemed to cut through the air. I've read about bees and beetles sending a vibration through its wings and allowing a different type of flight. As the creature flew towards us, it curved slightly, flew between me and my father, and seemed to target my older brother. I say this because he had to turn his shoulders and just managed to dodge the creature from hitting him in the chest. The creature flew past him, made a quick right, flew between two tombstones, and was out of our sight. I was extremely terrified, and my dad and brother laughed it off. After asking my father several times what it was, he finally said, "The Diablo," or Spanish for the devil. I stopped asking after that. Even now, I'll do periodic Google searches of the cemetery to see if there's been any other accounts of people seeing the same thing, but nothing has ever come up. What did we see? Was it the devil? I don't know. And I still don't know. M. So they had this crazy bat-winged devil. Gargoyle, right? It sounds like the gargoyle stories from Florida.
I don't like that.
That swooped down, flew right at them, and then flew off. What was it doing there? Was it observing them? Was it drawn to them because of their mournful thoughts about the passing of their mother? You know, the people are there paying their respects. Is it feeding off that? Because that's what a lot of these stories feel like, is they enjoy your misery. That's what they're doing. Yeah, they're like energy vampires, right?
Colin Robinson feels just like them.
It makes me wonder. And I got an interesting side note. This has nothing to do with that, but I thought that this was an interesting email, and it got me thinking. It's about the Glimmer Man.
Uh-oh,
check this out. It says, hey, guys, here's a random thought for you. Have you ever thought that the Glimmer Man might be an avatar of sorts? I'm not going to go all paranormally with remote viewing, but could there be a military technology that allows someone to remote view and move around virtually in a real environment to gather intel? I know it sounds far-fetched, and I don't know how it would work, but in my childhood, it wouldn't have occurred to me that I could meet my friends in a virtual reality, high-five them, and actually feel the contact, but that's second nature to me nowadays. Who knows what kind of tech the military might have at this point? Just a random 3 a.m. kind of thought. And by the way, if I'm awake at 3 a.m., Expanded Perspectives is usually the soundtrack. Keep on keeping on, Wendy.
Wendy, thank you so much. And
right, like that remote is a viewing. Great, we know
point.
Ingo Swann, we've talked about it too on the show numerous times, but especially privately. We know that remote viewing is a real thing. Otherwise, the CIA wouldn't have invested so much money in it. Maybe when someone's remote viewing, there's like a cloaked Glimmer Man that's doing the intel. Like when I'm remote viewing an army base.
That's what you look like?
In another country. What I'm seeing in my mind is, there's a cloaked thing. That's an interesting thought.
It's a cool idea, yeah.
Because, I mean, there's those remote viewing stories of there's bases on the moon, right?
Yeah.
And they know exactly where they're at, what they look like, what's going on in those rooms. Then you hear the crazy wild stories of the jump rooms.
These
guys that are like, I'm,
the jump room to the moon or to Mars.
Yeah, and then they have these crazy battles. I mean, that's where you start losing me. But still, the stories are interesting. And look, we're only like 100 days into the new president. All these crazy things are dropping. It seems like almost every day you're like, man.
If we're going to find out that aliens are up, everything, I'm like, hey, that's just another thing.
Every time somebody tells me, did you see this? I'm like, I'll believe almost anything now. I'm not surprised. Apparently, we've been lied to about all kinds of stuff.
I'm not shocked. Look, Lon sent us this, fired this over. I have to share this with you. Folks, I think you're going to enjoy this. Imagine seeing something along these lines. L. writes in that in my late teens to my 30s, I would frequently go ghost hunting with my friends.
Nope.
This particular incident happened around 2018, and my idea of ghost hunting was going into creepy places and just looking for ghosts. No equipment, no plans, just us being stupid. We rarely even remembered to bring flashlights. The group consisted of myself and my three best friends, one of whom had brought along his girlfriend, who in turn brought along her best friend. Hey now, double dating for ghosts. Here we go. The six of us had begun investigating an old, abandoned, and very unsafe barn, and hence succeeded in nothing more than freaking out the two girls. One of my friends suggested an old ruin we knew of, so we went back to check it out. We arrived at the old ruin, which was out in the middle of nowhere in Southern California's high desert, at midnight. The guys all got out of the truck. The girls refused to get out. We immediately spread out. The three other guys moved off to their right to explore the perimeter of the property, while I headed straight for the ruin. The ruin was easily identifiable by the light of the full moon. All that remained were 3-foot-tall cinder block and rebar outline of a building on a slightly raised cement slab surrounded by rubble. It hadn't been a large building by the look of it, having a short central hall with 2 rooms on either side. No sooner do I step foot on the threshold of the building than I look up and see something. Now, the best way I can describe this thing is when you take black and white Play-Doh and mix it together into a streaked, vaguely humanoid-shaped golem with a round head. Now, I watched this thing, visible only from the waist up, glide smoothly from left to right just outside the far side of the ruin. As it reached the far end of the building, I calmly did an about-face and walked back to the truck. I wasn't scared. I didn't panic. Until recently, I just accepted simply that the sight of this thing had just overloaded my mind and my understanding of the world, and had simply seen enough. But as I reached the truck, I realized that both girls were gazing past me towards the ruins with their eyes the size of saucers. Though there was nothing there when I turned around, both girls in unison described the exact same thing I had seen and claimed it was standing in the exact same spot on the threshold where I had just been when I saw it. There's not much else to say except the girls and I waited in the truck until the others came back. So a funky, streaky colored golem.
That is creepy. This is exactly why I don't go ghost hunting, right? I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't want it attaching to me.
Absolutely
I don't even want to see a golem or a pale crawler. I don't want to see any of that, right?
I'm not down with any of it. We always laugh and joke about it, and we've talked about it every time we run into people and they ask about it. We don't ghost hunt, period.
Yeah, we've been invited lots of times.
Numerous times. Yeah. We don't do it, bro. I don't care a thing in the world about it because I don't want it following me. I can tell if Bigfoot's in the back of the truck. I can't tell if there's a demon in the back of the truck.
Exactly.
And we all know that for the majority, Kyle and I are completely oblivious to most of these things. So we would have no idea till it was entirely too late.
Yeah.
Then we just get killed by it. Great.
If you have any cool stories you'd like to share with us and the rest of the listeners, you can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD.
Word.
Don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. If you want more and you want to help the show and get more content, you can go to our Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/expandedperspectivesElite. And if you want to give a membership to somebody, you can do that too. Go to patreon.com/expandedperspectivesElite/gift, and you can pick a tier. Let's not forget about our wonderful sponsors. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping. To get your 20% off, text EXPANDED to 64,000. That's right. Text EXPANDED, EXPANDED, to 64,000. And ZocDoc. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/expanded. Find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. We use it. You should, too. That's ZocDoc.com/expanded. Cam?
Yeah?
I know we talked a lot about reloading.
Oh, yeah.
You talked about getting new chairs. What are you working on? And gardening?
Yep.
What are your plans for the rest of this week?
I'm getting my daughter. We're going to the range. She's got a new pistol that she wants to run some rounds through. So I'm going to take my baby girl and go shoot guns. And then I'm going to have to, I got to be honest with all y'all. I'm going to have to do some honey-do lists I've got going. I got to mow the yard. I got in trouble because I put some things off. So I've got to get back and get things taken care of.
Yeah, I spent the whole weekend gardening with my wife, like getting it all ready.
Yeah.
I'm about 90% done. I've only got a few more things left. And of course, like we always do, we get excited. We buy more plants than we know what to do with.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've got 34 tomato plants.
Yeah, they were
different
telling
varieties,
me that.
Of course, but.
And DM Dave, he just hit me up because I got to come pick some up. That's what I'm doing is I'm getting everything set up for my elevated beds this week so I can get all that going.
Yeah, and the weather's been really nice lately. So I am trying to do stuff outside before it gets 150 degrees outside. And you don't want to go out there.
Yeah, I don't want to be out there anymore.
At all. All right, folks, that's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, folks, be safe. Don't go trying to chase any ghosts.
That's right.
I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.